Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Hi, I'm Angela Polania, the CEO at Elevate, and we are cybersecurity and cybersecurity consulting and recruitment firm in South Florida. So my background, it comes from consulting. I've always been a consultant at heart. At the time was Big Five firms, and my background, I went to school for both accounting and IT, but I've been very focused in IT in my career for a long time. From Latin America, but I've lived in South Florida for a long, long time as well.
That's great. I appreciate you sharing that. Tell us a little bit more about Elevate. What is the problem that you are solving with your product and services?
Sure. So Elevate, we've been in business for 14 years, which started more like a doing-it-myself business. And now we've grown quite a bit. And we help companies in two different aspects. Many times companies have a lot of audits, regulatory requirements, from a cybersecurity and privacy perspective that they need to meet. And they need a partner to help them, guide them through the process. But as we do that, we really, our modus operandi and our the way we view the world is that this is not just a compliance effort, but really want to elevate the cybersecurity posture of the companies. And when they do the things that they're supposed to do, it's just a byproduct of it. So we're very proud of helping clients and having long-term relationships doing that and evolving with our clients and their needs as they go. And then the other area that's newer for us, but we see a very big demand and we're very focused on, and we feel that we are good at and helping our clients, is finding talent in the cyberspace, because we're always looking for ourselves. So we also help our clients find different roles within the cybersecurity and audit, like IT audit world.
That's super exciting, and thank you for sharing that. With cybersecurity, we all experiencing, you know, these issues on a daily basis, whether at work or personal, with spam calls and the hacking incidents all around us. I think the need for that is quite elevated, just like the name of your company. Maybe share with us some of the trends and ideas that excite you these days, especially when it comes to cybersecurity. What are you researching? What are the different trends that have been super exciting?
Absolutely. And many of these things come because of our client demands. And cybersecurity is an evolving field, and there's always new and interesting areas. And for us right now, one that's converging with, I would say, data science is the auditing of AI, auditing for ethics, auditing for bias, auditing the processes related to transparency and privacy. So we're seeing the need with our clients. There's regulations that are being pushed into Europe right now on the dock, or UK, United States, New York is city has a regulation going to effect in January. So we at Elevate are working on developing a product for the continuous auditing of some of these algorithms, in auditing mainly for bias at this time. And there's some frameworks and some best practices are coming up because this is kind of like a green field. So it is really a great opportunity to get in as the regulatory landscape grows and as the use of these algorithms takes place in the world to make decisions about people's lives and our choices. It is going to be more and more in demand. So that's very exciting. And the other area is working with clients that are in the smart building technology and use what we call the Internet of Things, or operational technology type items. And since this data is, you hear about Alexa and things like that, but really goes, beyond that, clients need help with building a roadmap. And there's actually guidance, again, best practices, frameworks that are being created. So helping clients implement those improve and merge their existing cybersecurity programs with their operational, what we call operational security. So these are exciting things that are in our plate right now, and we're working with some clients in these fields.
Exciting indeed. And we can probably spend the rest of the episode talking about some of these trends that are going on in cybersecurity. But moving on further, we, you know, I have spent good portion of my career in the corporate sector as well. And the, you know, employee awareness and the education aspect has always been at the forefront of kind of just the cybersecurity space in as the foundation of a lot of the things, the way companies operate. But aside from those rudimentary strategies that I must have, maybe share with us what other strategies and tactics that executives can implement at their organizations to improve this, you know, the security of technology operations or just overall operations in general. What are some of the maybe recommendations that you share with some of the client companies that you collaborate with?
You know, we work with different sized companies. So when I think of this question, that could be an answer, you know, very differently. I think depends on the size, complexity, and the type of business that the individuals are in. But, you know, security is a mix of both technical controls and some of those administrative controls, like the user awareness and training that you mentioned. But, you know, the technical controls is what's protecting you from the technical things that are happening in cyber. So making sure that, you know, you have the right expertise in-house to help set up some of these systems, having very good endpoint security protection, right? We live in a society that, you know, a lot of the transactions and our businesses and our decisions are being made through cell phones, through, you know, your laptops, right? Nobody's working at home. You know, many people are working at home right now. So endpoint protection, endpoint security is a must, and multi-factor authentication and anything and everything that you probably own, especially anything that sits like on a web, right, outside, anything that has single sign-on, right, that you're using one system to log into many systems. If you have password managers, very, very important, put another factor authentication on those password managers. We just recently saw a hack in one of those tools. And getting those credentials. So it really, I always say that technical controls are a must in addition to those kind of other controls that you mentioned. And there's just many, and then periodic checking, right? And this is where, you know, these periodic tests of your controls, it's very important for companies to ensure things are supposedly working the way that they're supposed to be working. And if not, that there should be checks and balances for that.
Indeed, very much so. And to take that a little bit further, to find the right talents to be able to build a very robust and innovative cybersecurity team at every organization, especially in the past couple of years, I'm sure that has been a challenge because it's very specific, it's very niche skill set, and on top of that, it's in high demand. Probably, you know, unemployment in cybersecurity right now, maybe it's in the negative numbers. Maybe tell us a little bit more about the practical recommendations that you share with some of your client companies when it comes to attracting the top talent in cybersecurity. What are the different strategies that really, you know, especially for the companies that don't necessarily have the brand name, the brand recognition, but yet they do need that type of skill set, what are some of the things that they could do to attract the top talent?
I think, you know, like in general, and again, you know, we're not Deloitte Consulting here, one of these big firms that even them have a hard time finding talent right now. And hence, you know, for us personally, like smaller company level, we still don't want to compromise the right cultural fit. So we're very clear as to what is the right cultural fit and what is not. So what we're doing right now, I look at life like the hierarchy of needs, right? So what do you do to meet the stratus, right? So the first thing is, you know, compensation. I think compensation is very high for these positions right now, but I think if you want to attract good talent in the United States, you know have to try to position yourself as competitive as possible when it comes to compensation. But obviously after that, right, having an environment that you could foster trust and communication. But again, I think finding a person with the right cultural fit is a must. I really, one of the things that we're doing is we're looking overseas as well for talent. There's good talent in other countries and areas. And I think companies right now in the United States are being really forced to. I think this was before like, oh, that's for developer jobs or that's for, other things that you could find in other countries. But now even in cybersecurity, I know several companies that are finding talent in other places. And for us personally, we're definitely investigating and starting like a formal process for finding talent in other countries where English is a very strong language that's spoken. So I think these are strategies that companies are looking for. It's very hard to compete with Amazon and Apple and all these large organizations' salaries. So you got to get creative in finding ways in which you could attract talent, and then also understand that the age group and or the drivers for some of the people that you're looking for, and see if you could, to the extent that you can, bring some of those things that they're looking for, like obviously right now flex time off, or you know, more PTO and things of that nature into the equation to be more attractive.
Right, absolutely. And to pull a thread a little bit further on this particular topic, attracting the top talent in cybersecurity, retention then becomes of, you know, of another layer of complexity. Once, you know, you attract the top talent, but they also face, and they have tremendous amount of opportunities out there in the market as well from all other organizations on the global scale. Just like you mentioned, you know, one of the strategies is to go international, find the talent overseas in different markets, but probably other companies are exploiting a very similar strategy as well, targeting very, you know, same pools of talent. What are the different strategies that executives and companies can implement to retain the top talent?
Well, I think we're, you know, I've experienced some challenges myself. So insurance became an issue. It's a person that we really like, and we're really trying to work to improve those benefits. You know, looking again, you know, surveys of what are the things that matter to our employees, and what can we do to the extent that we can act with this. But again, really as evolved, like, you know, we feel like the pressure cooker is very high in the United States. Going overseas, it seems to be the alternative that is bringing us some relief, both from a salary perspective and finding good talent. So, yeah, I mean, it's some of the things I echo already, but I think you try the best you can. And most importantly for us, and really a big realization for me has been culture. I think, you know, if you have a place where people feel safe, and safe meaning that they could provide input and not be penalized, and or if there's something going on personally that they could share in and feel like this is not just a grind type job, I think that goes a long way. I've seen it firsthand, helping also, we help clients find talent where people get what you would think are better job offers, but those intangibles are not there, or, you know, the culture's so good at the places where there are that, you know, they just want to get a little bit more of that salary bump, and then they're happy and they're not going to leave. So it's really hard. I don't know if there's a formula right now, John, to be honest with this. I think you just have to try with the best you can, with the intentions of why am I doing this? Again, I always start with, why are we doing this? What are we trying to get out of this? And how can we do it the best way possible? And so there's many strategies, but I think it's a combination of everything. And then there's luck sometimes. And then again, if you find somebody that feels happy and or is the right cultural fit for you, that has the same values and speaks, you know, the same ethical language, I think it's so much easier for those people to even want to stay, because they feel like they're in a place where they're valued, their ethical values are in alignment with yours. And so I think those intangibles are very big, and companies have to now, we all have to work very hard at really bringing that forward all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely case by case basis. And it's a challenge for not just individual companies, it's for all companies across the board that are in need of a specific talent as such. So aside from the technical expertise and building out certain technical domain as a cybersecurity professional, those make sense. Those are pretty established. But when it comes to, you know, soft skills as a cybersecurity professional, what are some of the recommendations maybe that you provide to potential candidates and job seekers when it comes to interviewing and being able to showcase such, you know, soft skills that are not necessarily technical in nature, that would allow these candidates to stand out when it comes to interviewing and going through these assessment, you know, exercises with the hiring managers?
Absolutely. And again, since we're in this talent world as well for cybersecurity talent, you know, part of our process is, first and foremost, we try to seek that, you know, we try to really understand the cultures of our clients and what they're looking for. So get inside the brains and really understand, you know, what type of person will fit best in this company. So once we do that, then when we go in and looking for these candidates, we really try to start with, okay, you're going to be interviewing with these types of people. This is the type of culture that you're going to be dealing with. And based on your personality type, and maybe that's not even the right word, but on your, the way that you see the world and the way that they see the world, there seems to be already some chemistry. So if that's already established, I think, you know, some of the important things to help candidates through this search process is, you know, really listen to the questions and don't answer. I find, and I do that. I mean, I see this myself all the time. Like I've interviewed hundreds of people in my career, and you ask a question and they, you know, they don't stop top bottom. They already start like very specific in the weeds. And it's like, wait, walk me through your process as to how you saw something more holistically and then hone in with specific examples or criteria that's being asked of the question, but start with, okay, base, even like something as, if I understood you correctly and rephrase what you understood, rephrase what the person's trying to get from you. And I think even starting like that, it just sets the tone that you're really listening, that you're thinking, and that you're going to answer from a, I've seen multiple instances of something. I have a very good understanding of what you asked for. And now I'm going to give you very specific examples. It goes back to even like in our reading, in our writing classes, right? Start with the overall, what is this about? And then give a specific examples and then conclude. I think that applies all the time with interviewing. So the underdeveloped skills that I see sometimes in cyber or very technical positions are precisely what we're discussing, communication skills. So if somebody speaks well, if somebody is able to conclude well, is able to give a good, you know, starting introduction with very specific examples, is able to pause, listen, see if they have questions in between that conversation. I think that person alone is going to show, wow, this person communicates well. This person has critical thinking. And that alone is going to help you tremendously with your interviewing process. And I see that very lacking many times in interviews. I think people mean well and have may have good technical skills, but they undermine their soft skills. And that, you know, somebody told me a long time ago, you know, CEOs get paid for communication. They're all about managing communication, managing transparency, managing communication. So the one that's able to do that the best and communicate the best is the one that's making the most money. I think the same applies for these jobs. You're going to get more money if you communicate better, even if you're the most technical person in the world. And obviously, if you're liked, then you're seem like a nice human being.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, interviewing is so, it's so subjective as well. I've been on the different sides of the equation as a candidate, as a hiring manager, not part of the staffing organization as well. So it's always interesting to hear these different perspectives and strategies, how to just improve that space in general, because at the end of the day, those that are more successful in interviewing tend to structure these interviews more of a conversation, two-way street of interaction, where you also provide the candidates with an opportunity to make their own assessment as well, to ask the right questions themselves, and whether that hiring manager is the right leader under whom I can be successful, or is this the right type of environment or team dynamics where I can thrive as an asset. So those are always very interesting, especially in cybersecurity. I would imagine that's a little bit further because of nature of the industry and the nature of the role is in itself, which at times may feel like an individual contributor.
I agree, Dan.
Yeah. One of the questions that we get from our listeners on an ongoing basis, because majority of the guests that I host on Ivy Podcast are C-level executives, accomplished, you know, professionals in particular fields, and our listeners tend to, you know, seek advice from these thought leaders, in a sense, what are the different skill sets to invest in as they progress through their career, especially those that are early stage professionals that are just entering the workforce. And in technology specifically, you know, cybersecurity has been at least one of the most kind of popular domains, so to say, in which the technology professional should invest to develop further skills. Knowing what you know now and having operating in this space for quite some time, what would be some of your recommendations, let's say, to yourself, if you were starting out all over in a career, you know, just out of college? What are the different skills that you would personally invest if you wanted to grow in technology in general? That doesn't necessarily need to be cybersecurity, but just overall curious to get your take on on that?
I think first and foremost, when, you know, and I'm speaking to that younger person, right, that's like out of college, is, you know, I don't care what industry you're in or what job you're going to do, like really start inquiring, what do you know about, like, who are you? Like, what kind of person are you? So for instance, myself, I'm not, you know, I work in a very technical field and I'm very analytical and I really love learning. And that's why I love consulting, because I'm learning all the time. But I'm not the under the hood, you know, behind the scenes, you know, all day hacking at night, you know, not talking to any other humans for long periods of time. That's not who I am, right? So sometimes people think, oh, well, cybersecurity, it's that. You got to be the under the hood, super techie person in order to be able to succeed. And oh, I'm going to go and study cybersecurity because it makes money. But if you, you know, you're not that kind of person, you're going to have a very hard time. However, I also think that, you know, understanding what the different avenues of a career bring, if you're young and you could get good mentors or teachers that could walk you through, here's the different options. Yes, you're not that kind of person, but guess what? In the cybersecurity, there's GRC, governance, risk, and compliance roles, which require more of the soft skills with knowledge of regulations and this and that. Oh, wow. So I think, you know, it opens up eyes to say, oh, maybe that's what I would be better suited. And then dive very deeply and learn something very well. And then honestly, I think something that maybe I don't hear enough, but, you know, for a young person, it really is like 80% of what they're hiring you for is your attitude and your willingness to want to learn, your humbleness, your ability to show up and do what's right, not expect that things are going to be given to you, right? Not, there's no instant gratification in this long-term pleasure of growing as a professional. And I think having that mindset of service, that mindset of learning, that mindset of openness is really going to, life is going to guide you in a way to where you need to go. But I find right now there's maybe too much pressure for the youngs of, oh, you got to have everything figured out perhaps. And also too much expectations that, oh, these jobs have to make me happy. And it's like, I don't think, in my humble opinion, that's just reality and doesn't align with, you know, just being the best person that you can be under whatever circumstances in front of you. So I think people that have the attitude of, I'm going to make stuff happen, I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to learn from everything and everyone and see everything as a learning opportunity, are just going to have a better time in their lives and their careers than somebody that's like looking for the next big thing and not really aligning themselves to something bigger and better than themselves.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. No, that's a great advice. Thank you for sharing that. Just moving on to you personally as an individual, as a professional, what's your content diet looking like these days? What are the different resources that you consume on a daily basis to keep yourself informed, keep yourself educated on all the things that are going on in your industry?
So from an industry perspective, our clients every day brings a variety of things that are happening. So obviously working with them very closely, reading the best practices, attending certain types of conferences and where you actually could learn quite a bit. I think it's very good. And to be honest, I my favorite topics of diet, like you said, content diet or, you know, self-development and leadership, I would say. I really, it's an area where unfortunately I didn't have many mentors and or people in my life. And now, and you know, at the state of my life, I realized how important those qualities are. Working on yourself, working on your ego, working on your why are you doing things, understand yourself very well. I think that really is very important to me, because I find that the better that I am, the better I could show up at work and the better I could be, you know, help and be of service.
Yeah, that's always interesting to me, because with so much information overload out there, it's, you know, becomes a challenge to keep your mind, you know, segregated and selective of all the information that you expose yourself to out there. So it's an interesting space for me to discuss with every guest on the podcast. When it comes to books, what is maybe one or two books that come to mind that you always recommend to others, and why is that?
So I just recently bumped into a book that has really been very helpful to me. It's called Ego-Free Leadership. And it's just a really good story of when, you know, Matt, when a top leadership, right? I go to a lot of companies that tone at the top matters so much, right? And that trickles down through the organization. So when really management is trying to do things for the right reasons and that growth and that inner growth of the, of those leaders take place, and therefore it gets trickled down to everyone in the organization, it permeates environment. I mean, it's been a really good book. I'm very grateful that I bump into this book. And another book that I love is, I loved Michael Singer. He's, you know, he has several books that I really like, and a lot of different types of podcasts. And there's a lot of really good thought leaders out there that are just providing a lot of really good information. But like you said, there's too much information. So I think you have to be selective of what you listen to and make sure it's not just an echo chamber of some belief system, you know, and challenging yourself a little bit on your belief systems as well. I think it's healthy every now and then.
Right. Very much so. And I appreciate those recommendations. We'll make those titles available in the show notes for our listeners. And in conclusion, Angela, how can our listeners get a hold of you? How can they get in touch with you? How can they find you?
Oh, yeah. So our website, you know, Elevate Consult, like going up, right? ElevateConsult.com. And my email is my initial last name. So A as in Apple, B as in Peter, OLANIA at ElevateConsult.com. I'd love to, you know, I'm very grateful to be here, Jan. And thank you so much for your time. And this was great.
Of course, Angela, and thanks so much for your time today and sharing some of your insights. I personally learned quite a bit through this very short conversation, so I appreciate that. And just like with every guest on the podcast, what I love doing is schedule another recording in about a year where we revisit the conversation from a year ago and see if everything we've discussed still makes sense, still applies. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing that with you as well.
Oh, Jan, thank you. Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.